Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And what's up, y'all? Another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. We got my queen to the left, Angela Johnson, Bobise Elise Murphy.
What's up?
Be Real, Brandon Smith. And we're having an exciting night tonight. Tonight's mm-hmm. been good. We've had a lot of good conversations outside of the microphones. It's been a self-healing and learning journey. So This stuff is real. I kind of am so grateful that we're doing life together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie.
For sure-sies.
Yeah,
for
I've learned a lot about myself.
I feel lucky to have you guys in our lives. Do you say our life because we are one? Or do you
say our
life? Our life. Okay. Yeah. I feel lucky to have you guys in our life to process with, to trust. Like having somebody that you trust is major. So I am grateful for what we are doing here and that we get to share this with other people too.
I think it's so cool whenever you create a safe space with people. Uh-huh. I feel like this table is representative of that, and letting other people into that. It can be scary, but there definitely even still feels like a safety with you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the world could hear this, but it still feels safe. That,
right.
That's also terrifying, but it's great. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's
Speaking
fine.
Of everything's fine, we have a fine wine with us tonight.
Transish.
No, but no, in all seriousness, I think the thing that I've been loving hearing about the feedback is how what we're having here in this moment that we've created for ourselves, that we've had, inviting other people into it.
Yeah.
But the conversation continues after the pod's over. Mm-hmm. Not only just here with us, like us talking and whatever, but then other people are like gathering with their friends to talk about it.
Totally.
Amazing.
It's cool.
Yeah. Tell us about this vino, bro.
So this is a Sonoma tradition. Sebastiani.
Tradition.
Shout out, Sebastian.
Tradition.
Yeah, I'm going to take this S is just
This feels like
awesome.
Sebastiani.
Sebastiani.
Mm-hmm.
This
oh,
is a
yeah.
2016 Cabernet Sauvignon. Oh. How is that how you say it?
Okay.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sauvignon. Yeah, it's from a vineyard.
There we go. And hey, North Coast, so that we know from the last time this is Californian local.
Yeah, shout out to Northern California.
Shout out. That's
amazing
me.
Place. Especially the Bay Area, even better place.
How do you know someone's from the Bay Area? They'll tell you.
Yes. Yee. Yep, that's a true story.
You gave it a good yee. I'll
so,
let you slide with that.
Yeah, if you're joining us tonight, this
hopefully
is
you have this on your hand.
Yeah.
And let us know what you think, man, and your suggestions as far as future vino.
I am still on kombucha, but
birthday is close, Angela.
Almost
trying to get them abs. I get it, babe. I get it. Hey, so funny thing, not so funny thing, but our podcast tonight was birthed out of an experience that our good friend Elise Bobise had over there. And it was quite funny because it happened. She quickly went to my wife and they mm-hmm. talked about it. And instantly it was like, we should talk about this on the pod. Mm-hmm. And the topic is about signs of abuse. I know it's kind of heavy.
So funny.
Maybe wait. Maybe I should take the
right.
the happiness out of my
Hilarious
voice.
Hilarious thing.
Hey, we're going to talk about today.
Okay, you know,
well, you don't have to get sexy about it.
Okay. Hi, we're going to talk about today.
What is happening?
This is my doctor.
I feel like a lot of podcasts have been birthed out of my dating relationship life.
It's okay.
A big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. So what, at least tell us what happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell it, Angela, then I guess
I'll chime in because I was there a lot.
We get it. You're on the same team. We get it.
I was there for this part. Go ahead.
Low blow. It's fine.
So interestingly enough, met a guy at yoga. And sidebar, I'm training as a yoga teacher trainer right now.
Double sidebar. That doesn't mean that she's not saved anymore.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Hey, be careful because you know, I had an elder in my church tell me one time, hey, you need to be careful of yoga because those poses are portals that open you up to demonic spirits.
The pose is a child's pose. A child does it. That's how we get it.
So I'm be straight. Careful. Warrior pose. You don't know.
I pray during my yoga.
Mm-hmm. I say amen at the end. I can be incredibly spiritual about my yoga experience, which I am. You will get an entire sermon if you come to my class, which I hope you do. Not the point. So this story was, I was in my yoga class, met a guy. I had seen him for a few years. Like, I've been taking yoga for a while, but like, we'd seen each other. I was married actually when, like, I remember seeing him being like, oh, I'm married. Let's not talk to him. So now life's changed. So I remember him coming up to me a couple weeks ago and I would see him. We'd kind of do like the flirty eyes, but I wouldn't pay any attention to him. And then I left class early and then he followed me out and gave me, well, tried to tell me to follow him on Instagram, which really should have been my first red flag. And I was like, I have Instagram too. So he followed me and we got to talking and then he was like, hey, let's go on a hike. And I was like, oh, nah, bro. Like, I had thoughts on people, on guys that take girls on hikes. Like, there's a bit of a stigma attached to it. So I was like, no, thank
Wait,
you.
Wait, there is?
I feel like there
I'm
is.
I'm a little bit puzzled. What's the stigma?
Yeah, I don't know the stigma. Oh, I want to be on your side, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I feel like you're a little bit on their side. That's fine. We can bring you back.
Let us in.
I feel like guys that take girls on hikes take them to like Runyon Canyon and it's like they have a different girl every day. Because it's trendy. And okay. They want to see their like butt in yoga pants, which he's already okay. seen. So,
okay. It's trendy and you're like, okay. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, so I was a bit like, no, thank you. But I don't know what I was expecting. So I was like, you know what, at least don't have stereotypes. Don't blanket statement him. Give him a shot. Knew he, like, he had already asked me what I did, and I tried to scare him away with, like, I'm a pastor. And he was like, oh, cool, what church? And I was like, oh, dang. And I was like, Oasis? I am like, great, let's go for a hike. That's a real meet because we went past my whole psyche of, like, actually getting there. And that's fine. So we got there. Went for a hike, and immediately...
You did go for a hike?
I did.
I didn't hear this part.
So I called Angela on the way, or I texted you. You were doing a show, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go on a hike with this guy. And she was like, cool. Let me know how it goes. So I meet him at the hike. I drive because I always heard like be in control of like don't let them drive you or something about that. And so I did that. I heard something on Law and Order with Olivia Benson. And so immediately he's like talking a lot. And we all know I can talk a lot. This guy talks... like four different Elises, like in one body, and wouldn't let me really talk, but we had a lot of similarities. And so I just kind of let him talk and immediately he was like, hey, where were you today? Not at class. And I was like, oh, I don't love that teacher's class. She comes out of time a little bit and it's like a little frustrating. And I like heard it for the next 5 minutes about how yoga is not about the teacher. It's about me. And I set my own boundaries and I should have been in class because, it's not about the teacher. And if
so,
he's correcting me immediately. And so I was like, interesting. Whatever I said from that point would be corrected. Whatever I said, if it was theologically based and I know my Bible, if it was like, there's one point that I was like, hey, I feel like you might like the, it's his personality profile and maybe you don't like, and I started even like apologizing for what I was saying pretty quickly. And I was like, you might not like it. It's called like the Enneagram. And he's like, oh, what is it? And I was like, well, it's like this personality profile was done like back in the day. And there's 9 different personalities and there's a bunch of wings. And I don't want to like butcher it. So maybe do your own research on it. But like, it's been really helpful. And he's like, what? What do you mean you don't know about it? Like, do your research before you bring it up. And I remember being like, oh,
I want to knock this nigga out.
Do your research like, before okay. you bring it up.
All right. So we get back from the hike and this is how quickly I realized that girls can be like, well, people can be turned, right? So like my car is parked, like is now parked in because we got down from the hike too late. And so like he finds a way for my car to get out very impressively because there really wasn't a way. I was very impressed and clearly just forgot about the entire conversation we just had. So we were driving back and he's like, you want to get something to eat? And in my head, I'm like, you have just been arguing with me for the last hour. Yeah. Like,
genius. You wanted a little more.
Genius, right? I was like, yeah, tear me down some more. It's great. So he's like, Chick-fil-A. And I was like, no, thank you. I would like a drink. And so he was like, okay, cool. So takes me to my favorite restaurant. He didn't know it was my favorite restaurant, which there are many locations. Just another argument. I was like, oh, this is my favorite. I go to the one in Studio City all the time. And he was like, you mean Sherman Oaks? And I was like, no, I go every week. Like, it's in Studio City. Mm-hmm. like, I don't know. And he's like, no, it's in Sherman Oaks. Completely argued me. Saw his boy in the restaurant. Asked his boy. His boy said, oh, the one in Studio City. I was right. And he didn't believe his friend. Looked it up on Google to make sure it was correct. We start eating. He is really like, I was trying to change the subject. And I was like, so family, he found a problem with that because he said, what kind of question's that? And I was like, look, I was just trying to change the subject. Like, it's now getting tense. And we can't, like, I can't eat fast enough. And he starts just, the story just goes on and on and on to the point that I stopped him. I said, hey, I totally get that you didn't fill the questions I was asking you with family and I wasn't being, like, detailed enough. I totally get that. May I say that I am in therapy right now because the way I grew up was to keep everything fine. I grew up as a church kid, and when I came into an environment where there was tension or when there was conflict, I learned very quickly to make sure everybody was okay, and I am slowly coming out of that. But the reason I do that is when I'm in environments that I'm comfortable, and I want to let you know that you are very aggressive and very abrasive, so if you don't want me to act like that, please do not do that. To which he stopped, sat back and said, yeah, I've been told I'm aggressive. And I was like, okay. So we finished the meal. I dropped him off. He proceeded to call me the next night at 11:30 p.m. when I was asleep. And then called me a couple of days later when I was with you, Angela. And you were like, absolutely not. Let's send him a text. We create a text.
Pause for a second.
Okay, pausing.
So
I was just getting to the meat.
Elise is, she's going on this hike. She texts me, I'm going to go on the hike with that guy. And I was like, oh, okay. Meanwhile, let me call my friends who I know are friends with him just do my reconnaissance. Mm-hmm. So I did. And immediately they were like, girl, run. Mm-hmm. No, he's got baggage. We all have baggage, but he's got some sort of emotional issue where he needs to be better than women and tear them down. Like, there's something, he has something in there. And I was like, okay, let me tell her when I get off stage. And I check my text from Elise. She's like, we're going to dinner now. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm going to have to.
She starts speaking.
Poor thing. Elise is going to call me after and be like, I'm so in love. And I'm going to be like, no, I got to you too late. Anyways.
You're planning a wedding.
Elise came to her own conclusion. Basically, my friends were right. And Elise figured it out for herself. And then later we get, she's here at the house. And he calls, like, it's almost midnight, and does a high, like, booty call text. And I was like, no, girl, you need to just let him know, hey, I'm not interested in being friends with you. Thank you. You know, we had a nice hike or whatever, but I'll see you in yoga sometime.
Namaste.
Thank you. Take care. Right?
Namaste away.
And she was like, do I say, I'm not interested in being in a relationship or a friendship? And I was like, no, friendship. Because mm-hmm. somebody like that who's already playing mind games, they're going to say, oh, that's sweet. You thought I wanted to be in a relationship with you? No. So we're going to take that off the table mm-hmm. and just say, I'm not interested in pursuing a friendship with you. That just cuts everything off. I don't want to have contact with
and
you.
And that was a really tough, it wasn't internal dialogue. It was definitely external dialogue because it was like a friendship. I don't want to be, I grew up where you have to be your friends with everyone. Like, I'm all things to all men that I might win some. Come on, church talk. And so I was like, I don't want to, but really it was, I don't want to make him mad.
I don't want to offend him. Are you sure? Should I make it softer? Should I make mm-hmm. Then I take the phone and I push send or something like that. I don't know.
And
something like that.
It was.
And he replies so aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
But like that slight-handed. Passive aggressively. He says on text, wow, or something like that. Like as if Elise owed him more after her one date Ooh. With him. Mm-hmm. He plays mind games again and goes on text, wow, so that she could feel bad about herself and the way she handled it. She was very polite in the words. I know because I wrote them. Like she is like, you know, and he tries to pull that mind game on her. And I was like, no, girl, don't even reply to him. And then it goes deeper. But all of this to say, these are things that women and men both yeah. sometimes don't catch the red flags, because maybe that person is really good looking and they have a six pack, or that girl's got a booty, or whatever it is. And you're like, dang, this person looks good. I'm just going to pretend that they weren't super argumentative with me on our first date. I'm just going to pretend that they didn't have to be right in that argument. I'm going to pretend that he didn't correct me four times. And so these are things that are, we feel, signs of emotional abuse. He didn't hit her.
Yeah, abuse in a sense, like, here's the funny thing. Before this podcast, we were like defining, like, all right, what do we want to talk about specifically? And we're like, all right, we're going to hit this relational thing. But then we were like, abuse. And it was like, man, abuse can be so many things. But we've never actually looked up abuse.
Yeah.
So then B looked up abuse and listen to these definitions, you know what I'm saying? Because it's interesting that we literally start listening. And we're like, wait a minute. We kind of do that sometimes in our own relationships, unknowing what abuse is actually. So if you're in a relationship, listen to what the definition in this website that we, and it may not be the end all be all, but it's very interesting to see if you find yourself in this, either being treated this way or you treating someone else this way.
And so, it's a list of how to recognize the signs of mental,
give them the website real quick,
emotional abuse. It's on healthline.com. This is medically reviewed by Timothy J. Legg.
Thank you, Timothy.
Yeah.
Timothy
Legg. And so first kind of category is humiliation, negating, and criticizing. Mm. So some of the examples of that are this: name calling. They'll blatantly call you stupid, a loser, or words that are too awful to repeat here. Character assassination, right? This will happen sometimes in arguments. All of a sudden something will come up and they'll be like, oh, well, you're always looking out for your, you know, whatever, whatever. Yelling.
Jeez.
Patronizing. Like, oh, sweetie, I know you're trying, but this is way beyond your understanding. And even part Angela of that too that is like belittling you like a child. Like treating you like a child.
No.
She's just agreeing for mankind.
I was like, what?
For mankind.
Another one too is belittling your accomplishments. All of a sudden you come, you share like this moment with you and they're like, ah, it's nothing.
Or they one up you.
A put down of your interests, right? They might tell you that your hobby that you're into is childish.
That's a good one.
Or intentionally pushing your buttons.
Yeah.
Right. That's another one. Another category is control and shame, right? And that they'll make a threat. Right? Monitoring your whereabouts, which again, I realize like that's not an abuse because my wife and I, we share like
Not technically stalking, right, Angela?
But digital spying, right? So boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, might be checking your texts and your emails.
Being this is like not given permission to do so.
Is without the consent there. Lecturing, which felt like you got a little bit of that. Belaboring your errors with long monologues, making it clear that you're in the wrong. Direct orders, outburst. Again, I said this earlier, treating you like a child. Unpredictability, which could be a little bit. Like one day you get the Jekyll, the other day you're getting the Hyde.
Oh, that's real.
Using others, right? Abusers may tell you that everybody thinks you're crazy. Or they're all saying that you're wrong.
I had somebody do that.
Another one.
Was that me?
Accusing, blaming, and denial, right? Some examples of that. Jealousy, right? Irrational jealousy. Turning the tables. They say you cause their rage and the control issues from there. Denying something you know is true, right? Abuser will deny that an argument or even an agreement took place. Completely disregard what happened. Using guilt. Denying their abuse. Another one is accusing you of abuse. Saying you have no sense of humor. Abusers make personal jokes about you, and if you object, they'll tell you to lighten up. Right? That's a weird one. Blaming you for their problems, which is a big one.
Yeah.
Of people, abusers never take ownership for their stuff that's going on in them. And then destroying and denying. They might crack your cell phone screen or lose your car keys and then deny it.
Wow.
Belongings of yours just randomly
and
go
missing.
And that's
called, like, that's actually an emotional abuse term that I learned through therapy called gaslighting, which was, the term was created because of a movie back in the day, you know, the day. So gaslighting is this term used because of a movie that was created, and the husband would turn on the gas and the wife was like, I smell gas. And he's like, no, you don't. There's no gas on. And you repeat that long enough, she starts to think she's crazy. So she ignores the signs of gas on. And then one day he like burns down the house and like killed her. And that's where they got the term, this emotional abuse term of gaslighting, where you so think you're crazy, you begin to ignore the warning signs thinking that you're the crazy one. It's like the, like they lose your keys and no idea. And usually it starts with such a big lie that it's like, say someone like opened accounts on credit cards in your name. So, and you found like the credit card statements and they were like, I didn't do that. And you have the credit card statements there and they're still like, no, it starts to so often become like this. Maybe I'm crazy. Like you tell someone the sky isn't blue long enough, they start to maybe believe it. That's gaslighting.
And those people could be your neighbor or the president of the United States. Like you just don't know. You just don't know. You just don't know.
Or your ex-husband. You just don't know.
Last,
you know what I mean?
Last category here is emotional neglect and isolation. So they'll do this by demanding respect. No perceived slight will go unpunished, but you're expected to defer to them. So it's a one-way street. Another thing is shutting down communication, right? Dehumanizing.
Yeah. You did great. Okay. You did great.
Sorry. I didn't graduate. You gave it your
best. You gave it your best.
keeping you from socializing. Whenever you have plans to go out, they'll come up with a distraction or beg you not to go. Mm-hmm. Try to come between you and your family or close friends. Withholding affection. Oof. Tuning you out. Actively working to turn others against you.
Wow.
They'll tell coworkers, friends, even your family that you're unstable, you're prone to manipulation, all these sorts of things. They call you needy. They continually interrupt you. And then last one is disputing your feelings. Whatever you feel, they say that's wrong or that's not real.
Man, and look, I think the tendency, I guarantee as the listeners are listening, the first way you're listening is, has this stuff been done to me? And you're just catching all the things. Oh, man, that happens to me. That happens to me. And the last thing you do is look at, do I do any of these things? Now, look, one of the things that he said, which is so prominent, withholding emotions. That's legit. Because how many times do both parties, either way, whether girl or guy, you get upset and your way of getting back at them is to just
silence.
Mm-hmm. You don't even want to talk to him. You know, me and my queen, that happened to us. Like early in our marriage, she would shut down and we wouldn't talk for like 3 days. Whoa. And I would just be like, holy crap, this girl is going to keep going. And because she knows it was her that like needed to come to me. And she would just shut down. And I'd be like, damn, this girl is like stubborn. But that's such a, like when you think of the word abuse, no one would be like, oh, you're such an abuser because you shut down. But it is a form of abuse. And I think once you start, when you hear these things, you can acknowledge or even know like, damn, abuse is wider than what we think. This physical thing, it's something that maybe you don't even know is happening to you right now. Like a lot of these traits, you're like, man, my man or my girl does this to me. And I've never been able to put a finger on it. It feels weird. It doesn't make me feel the best. But now you're hearing it defined and it's like, wow.
So, but also identifying it with yourself. Yes. Like you said, most people are probably going to just see what others have done to them. But I heard the list going, oh my God, I emotionally abuse my husband.
Yeah.
Not for everything, obviously, but a few of those things popped up and I go, oop, I do that one.
And then we were real loud on the ones we didn't
and
do.
Then a couple, there were a couple that I was like, oh, my babe does that to me sometimes. I think we both mutually abuse each other here.
But I think that's the difference. I think that, B, you said something really important in that list was like not taking responsibility for those things.
Yeah.
And I know for me, straight out of my marriage, when I got to Australia, the first thing I said to my therapist was like, hey, real quick, think I'm a narcissist. Got told that. Pretty sure I am. So pretty sure this is my fault. Now, to me, it was so black and white that I was that. What I learned on my journey with therapy was that I had a lot in the early days of things I ignored and things in myself and the way I reacted to things that was not healthy. So I had almost ignored them by labeling myself as something, but taking that label off and therefore that shame off allowed me to deal, take responsibility with and change the things that were my responsibility, which were some of those things that you mentioned there.
Well, let's get more specific because specific to you. Yeah. What were the things that you ignored?
In the early days?
Yes. The things that you now look back and you see, because maybe somebody is in the relationship right now and they're like, going to see what you see. Like, what were the things that you felt like, damn, I let that one slide?
Yeah, I think that because of, I think I was using him to fix a void and I was just trying to find the right way to do it. Like, all right, just find me a Christian because I keep screwing up and these other people aren't Christian. So if I get a Christian, let alone a worship leader, let alone someone that my pastors love, everything's going to be fine. So I would see things behind the curtain or below the surface that I ignored because I really wanted to believe that what he was showing me and what people were telling me was real. So the things that I ignored was taking responsibility for like finances. We talked about that in the dating pod in how to get it, I think. But really, Angela, you were talking about the way someone handles their finances says a lot about the person. If I'm honest, the finances weren't good. And then that led into the not taking responsibility for it. So there was always an excuse. And it's really hard because usually with abuse stuff, there's a lot of lying. But I would say this, I had a lot of gut checks along the way that I ignored. I would call it the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he was trying to get my attention and my desire to be loved and accepted and chosen as a wife was greater than my desire to see the truth.
Do we feel that this is more of a problem with women to men than men to women?
Not necessarily, but maybe when we talk about it.
I mean, I can only speak my perspective. I don't know.
I mean, have you ever like...
Yeah, it's tough because I think like I look at my last relationship before Maddie and I just think there was just an insecure woman who was just an insecure lover. And in that state, there was these things, probably cues that she maybe got from her parents because I know their marriage wasn't great. Cues maybe she got from previous relationships. And maybe not even knowing that this is abusive, but there's things like the withholding affection of like, because I feel a certain way today, I'm not going to show you love in the way. And one of my major love languages is touch. So that's like a huge thing for me. It's touch and quality time. Mm-hmm. So now you're making my like love tank on E because you're trying to get me to do something that you want me to do. Mm. Right? That's control. And so, I would say in my experience, I have been around friends who are females who have dealt with this more of a thing than I'd say my boys.
Yeah, because I kind of feel dudes kind of like angrily, not in like the best healthy way, but they'll just be like, yo, this chick's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like yes. Just straight up be like, yo, I don't like her. She's this or she's that. And then they're like on to the next. And where I kind of feel like at least... most of the women that I've dealt with this, I feel like I speak to a lot more women. And I'm not trying to say that if you're a dude dealing with it, that it's not real. But I just wondered. I wonder if it was a trait that's more apparent within women because of the amount of, I guess, the innate nature of wanting to serve and be that woman for the guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To be that person that lifts your guy up and all that stuff.
And I get that. I also do think, though, that I've heard a few people say, including my therapist, that you get in a relationship with almost the mirror of yourself. Not what that looks like, because it can look very different. But she said to me in this context, she said, Elise, if you don't heal from this, and she said, I see it all the time, people get out of a relationship and quickly get into a relationship with healing from that. And the reason they quickly get into a new relationship is because that person looks nothing like their ex, and yet deep down, they're as broken as their ex. And really all it is, it's a mirror of yourself. And so when it takes two to get in a relationship, so I would say maybe guys aren't either talking about it or they're not responding in the same way, but it takes two to get, and I'm not just talking about like heterosexual relationships. I'm just saying people in relationships, for a relationship that goes down the track, it's a mirror of yourself. And a friend of mine that was almost a mentor during my divorce, Allie Fallon, soon too, she's about to get married. So exciting. She wrote an incredible book about healing. And she said to me, Elise, it's a really great check in the mirror. So every time right now after the divorce that you're attracted to someone, they're attracted to you and you feel the sparks, just check the mirror. Just check the red flags and say, okay, what is this really telling me about myself right now? And then if you like what you see, proceed with caution. If you don't, do some more work on yourself.
No, I've always told people that the people that you attract, 9 times out of 10, in order to attract greatness, like you have to be great. Because how else will you be able to identify greatness if you can't see it in yourself? If you
Krista
can't see
and Lucas
it,
talk about this as well.
Yeah, we did learn about
theirs is less about the greatness, but they talk about how the trauma in you mm-hmm. will attract the trauma
yeah.
in someone else. Mm-hmm. So if you don't work on that or figure out why you attracted this person mm-hmm. to you, you will continue to attract a person like that to you. Maybe not the first guy was Mexican, the next guy is Asian or whatever. Like they can look completely different. But deep down, they have something broken that your brokenness is like calling them to you.
Here's the funny thing. You know, when it, and that's, this is my just humble opinion. I am not a doctor, but when,
Dr. Manny.
Yeah, when we talk about, you know, you've heard the saying, misery loves company. Mm-hmm. I feel like what that meant was, in like what you're saying to echo that is, the brokenness in me has been there so long that it's no longer something that I deem as needing to be fixed, but it's almost become my friend. It's become a personality trait. Mm-hmm. So I know him. I know the brokenness. Mm-hmm. We're friends. We talk all the time. Mm. We judge all the time. Wow. We do our thing all the time. So he feels
That's
comfortable.
Good. That's good.
Even though he's brokenness, even though it's broken, I have not been given the tools to fix it. So I have lived with it and now it is a comfort. So when I meet it in someone else, I identify it easily because I'm like, ooh, that feels like the comfort in me. Mm-hmm. So you're bonding on your brokenness, mm-hmm. but it feels comfortable. It feels like you know that, like you've known this, you know? And the adverse can be true as well. Like if you healed, then you can tell as somebody is talking, whether they're still going through their mess or when they've come out of it just by how they talk, how they carry themselves. And I think that's crazy to think that you could be bonding off of experiences that are literally things that you're going to have to tear down. The very thing that you mm-hmm. are building together are things that in order for you to make it, you will both have to tear down mm-hmm. and rebuild in a healthy facet. But we feel so comfortable in our brokenness and identified in someone else that we attract each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part of what your therapist is saying. Like, if you don't heal, you're going to repeat this. You're going to repeat this because you only know one thing, and that's to be broken.
And that was the encouraging part of this strange experience with this date hike eating thing, was that on the first date, I almost honestly, to be very honest, I shocked myself with what came out of my mouth. The aggressive, abrasive statement, I was like, okay. And now it's fun to be able to say that I said that. But in the moment, I freaked out because I was like, oh my God, I just said that. That just came out of me. But now in hindsight, it's because of what I've been putting in myself for the last mm-hmm. couple of years of healing.
Yeah.
That's what came out of me in the moment. And I didn't do that with my marriage. I didn't do that when I was dating my ex-husband. It was more, please choose me rather than do I choose you? And mm-hmm. it's a very different perspective.
Mm. Yeah. So that takes Preach. A like,
that's, oh, that was good, by the way. I'm snapsing myself.
That takes, you know, it's funny, but you saying that means that it takes, and I think at the end of the day, it really does come down to this, how you view yourself will 100% be what you allow to exist in your life. If you cannot find the love or the adoration or the respect for yourself, there is no way you're going to demand that from anyone. Mm. Because look, dudes, for all the things that they can't catch, dudes can catch a chick who doesn't respect or love herself. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to
see. Can you guys like see it from a mile away?
It's so easy. Just
what's
because,
it look like?
Okay.
We need to know. The women need
remember,
to know.
Remember, okay, this is something that I
always, does she have all her bits out?
Remember, okay.
Most of the time on Instagram.
I think we had a conversation once where you kept apologizing for yourself. Or
probably.
You kept That's apologizing for yourself. And I... and you would like what you said you did on the date, like you kind of like was like, oh, but you know, no, no. And you like kind of like downed yourself mm-hmm. before I could. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this? Like, stop. Mm-hmm. If you're dope, own your dopeness. Mm-hmm. Don't freaking apologize. Don't.
That was a big comment. I remember it. Yeah.
Don't lower yourself for somebody.
I talked to my therapist about that conversation. That's how like.
Well, because it's so easy. Like I notice I can tell women that are not that confident or that they will allow certain things to exist in their life by how they treat themselves. And if I'm easily able to just like another guy who would want to control the woman would allow her to stay there because that means. That's this is how I'm gonna get her.
And yet what's interesting to me is that for a while and sometimes women that are strong and that do not apologize for what they say can be called like too strong or too aggressive or like,
bitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. I think it's all in the way you do it. There's a difference between being a bitch and then,
so and then
someone being a powerful woman,
who just won't, let somebody walk
but
over.
That was
them.
My mentality for a long time before I realized I'm allowed to be soft and a boss.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, and so also that's, about that the other day, that's also the perception of whoever it is that is viewing you, the person who calls you the bitch or the person who says, wow, she's a strong woman. That's their own trauma mm-hmm. that they're seeing you through. So
you had a similar situation happen as well. Yeah.
Yeah. My dating situation. I dated a guy who wanted to fix me without saying I'm trying to fix you. And it was, and he would use the Bible to do it. So it was like, I kind of had to respect him as he was helping me. Thank you for helping me. Oh my God. And he would like, at the end of the day, he would ask me questions. I would give him my answers as we're getting to know each other dating. And I always felt like there was an invisible measuring stick held up to me and I could just never measure up. And so I found myself trying to impress and like, oh, I hope I make it higher on the measuring stick today. And it was always something from the way that I dressed to here, I got you this new book to read. And it's not like
the Bible.
This is a book that I love so much and I want to share it with you. It was like, I think this could really help you out.
More like you need this. Then yeah, like, I want to share this with you.
Yeah, exactly. From that to questioning my assessment of a situation and just outsmarting me. And because I didn't have the right Bible verses, I didn't have a leg to stand on or whatever it was. And I remember at the end when I said, we both mutually were like, yeah, we're not going to date anymore. And he was like, yeah, well, let's still be friends. And I was like, no, I'm not interested.
You said that?
And yeah, I was like, no, I don't want to be friends.
That's where that line came from.
Because I still had feelings for this guy. I just knew we weren't right for each other. So I was like, no, I don't want to be friends because I still have feelings for you. And he was like, well, why are you worshiping your feelings?
Ew.
And I was like, what?
Bro, respect what she says.
And he was like, that's a coward move. Wow. He called me a coward because I wouldn't be friends with him. And he's like, I'm friends with all my exes. So I was like, okay, this is not about you want to be friends with me. This is about your track record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no, I don't want to be friends with you. And it was every form of I'm a coward because I'm worshiping my feelings over God and like all kinds of just mind stuff. That's and crazy. I was just like, call me what you want. I'm out.
Yeah.
And never saw him again.
So what was in you that caused you? Because again, like obviously looking back, you can see the signs. It's very clear. When you were in it, did you feel this? Like, did you see the signs? But at the same time too, you're like, I maybe have hope he's going to change and maybe it's not going to be like this forever.
No, in the moment I'm thinking, oh, he's trying to help me. Oh my God, that's so nice. He's trying to help me. So throughout the day when we're hanging out, I'm like, oh, he's trying to help me. And then at night when I lay my head down, I go, why do I feel like zero?
So then again, does it go back to you? Did you feel like you didn't really have a healthy understanding of who you were?
Sure.
Because like, in order for him to freaking like snipe you like that, there had to have been some kind of doubt.
I didn't have a healthy understanding of who I was and I couldn't like own my identity. But I mean, that goes into lots of layers that I'm still just now discovering how to own my femininity and my, you know, power as a woman. So yes, but also I didn't have the words to articulate like what he was doing. I didn't have the wisdom to see like, hey, this is not cool. Like now, nobody could do that to me again because I know better now. So like in the now looking back, I'm like, oh, that was emotionally and mentally abusive, like that kind of manipulation. But in the moment, I'm like, oh, he had me. Like, yeah. Oh my God, he's helping me. Oh my God, give me a book. Oh my God, he told me I should wear heels more. Oh my God, he told me I should, whatever, fill in the blank. Like, he's totally helping me. And then looking back, I'm like, no, he was trying to fix me and make me like what he wanted me to be. And now if somebody tried that again, I'd be like, go find who you want. That's not me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
when you guys got in arguments, which I'm assuming happened because obviously you're a strong woman and he's like trying to fix you, was there ever him taking kind of like ownership, or was it always like the finger was pointed at you and it's like, you're the problem. Right. Like, you just don't get it. You don't understand, Angela. Like, what was kind of that dynamic in the arguments?
It was this, it was, hey, I just want to honor you.
First of all, your tone, ew.
No, that's what it was. Oh. I just want to honor you. I just want all the Christianese words.
Yeah.
I just want to, like, what are some of the other Christianese, like, dating words? Like, basically anyone that you can think of. Like,
build you up, empower you.
All of that kind of stuff. All good words
when they're authentic.
All of that, which is funny because he was saying all of this stuff, all the Christianese words. I want to honor you. I can't even think of the other ones right now, but I was like, oh my God, that's why he's doing all these things. Mm-hmm. 'Cause he's trying to like honor me or whatever. Anyways, we stopped dating. The next guy that I date is Manny. Mm-hmm. And Manny is saying the same things and doing the Christianese things, only it's real this time. But I hear the words
and triggered,
and I'm like, oh, I just dated you last mm-hmm. summer. I know how this goes. Yeah. 'Cause now I'm like, oh, I'm yeah. aware now. Yeah. I have wisdom. I've been through this situation. I know the cards that dude's good looking, handsome, knows the Bible, Christianese words. I just want to pray for you. I remember one time in the beginning of Manny and I conversing on Facebook, he prayed for me in like an email message. And I was like, oh, roll my eyes, gag me with a spoon. But that's because I had just came out of this guy who manipulated all of those tools. And this wasn't a tool from Manny. Manny was just like, here's my heart.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay.
And that's always an interesting thing too, of like, here the same words are being spoken.
Yes.
But the difference was in how you were actually feeling. Mm-hmm. One, you're seeing the actions like behind the words that like lets you know like, hey, this guy's legit. But the other was saying all the right things, yet mm-hmm. you were feeling like zero at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's the mind-blowing thing of like, there's some dudes who are really good with their words.
Yep.
And that will get you in trouble sometimes if that action isn't shown, because guys who are really smooth with their words mm-hmm. sometimes can get away with the verbal, emotional, mental abuse in a way that a dude who's just like, you know, like not
I like
dudes,
you.
Dudes and women. Because
sure, there you go.
My abuse story happened when I was, I got saved. I was in this church. I had a leader that became my girlfriend, and
of course you did.
Well, she's, you know,
a leader. Wait, is this like real abuse? Like, we should call the authorities on this.
Should.
Were you 12?
It was my youth pastor,
Olivia Benson. Does she need to register?
No. So, like, here was the thing that I noticed. Like, I'm typically, if anybody knows me, I have a high level of confidence. Like, I don't really.
We know.
Yeah, there's very few things you can say to me that's going to make me feel like I'm not awesome. And it's just a supreme thing that I feel like God gave me, because I feel like I draw all my strength from like the fact that I may suck, I may need grace, I may be a horrible person, but I love God a lot. And I kind of lean on that. Like, at the end of the day, I'm trying my hardest and I just want to love Jesus. Yeah. And that's where I gain all my confidence, because I just. That's just how I am. So with her, it was as if they would get mad at me, like her and the crew will get mad at me if I was good at something that they were not good at, and I said anything about that area of topic, they would come at me and be like, oh, you just think you're better. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Clothes. You know I love clothes. You know I love fashion. Mm-hmm. she would ask me my opinion because she taught like dramas and this and that. And she would ask me my opinion, like, yo, what do you think about this outfit? And I'm honest, as we all know. I'll be like, yo, I think it's whack. But in a nice way, like I'll be like, I don't think it's, you know, whatever.
I think it's whack.
Yeah.
You just whisper whack.
I think it's very whack.
Change your tone.
higher pitch, lower tone.
I would say it in a nice way, but basically what I was saying is, I think the outfit's whack. And then they would be like, oh, because you just think you dress better than everyone. You just think, you know, because you got whatever, you're just da-da-da-da-da-da. Then dancing, you know, she would teach dance at the church. And they would
everything,
they would do human videos. But it's one of those churches where
human
it's like
videos, AOG, let's go.
You make somebody do everything, even though they're good at it or not. All right. So she's teaching dance and I know what dance is because obviously I come from a dancing background. And I'm seeing their dances and I'm just like, man, this feels like sin because it's missing the mark. It really is missing, missing
Many.
The mark.
I can't.
And so she'll ask me, hey, how was this? And I'll be like, man, I got to be honest. What you're doing in here doesn't look like anything that they're doing out there. And I'm just being honest because, you know, we have this relationship.
Question, here's my thing.
He was like, no, this is whack.
No, this is whack.
This is whack.
Hey, Manny, this is what I have a question with. Would you really say it like, and I believe you did, but I want to make this distinction, is that a lot of people that would have, and we all to a degree would have abuse tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were almost getting at the beginning. Like right. We all find ourselves in some way.
Mm-hmm.
The way you would say it, though, really does differentiate an abuser to someone who may be saying the same thing, mm-hmm. but in a different way. So you weren't actually saying, this is whack or you suck at dancing.
No, I was so, look.
I just wanted to make that
this is how our relationship was. I was so in awe of her. Because
mm-hmm.
I literally learned how to pray from her. Like, she taught me how to pray. When I first got saved, like, this was my leader. So the amount of respect and awe I had was, she was up on the pedestal. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing anything she said. We were so close in that aspect. Like I knew what her tongue sound like when she prayed in tongues.
Okay.
And I'd be like,
wow, you know, leave room for the Holy Spirit.
Like it was that kind of relationship.
Christian romantic.
Yeah, that's Christian romantic, right?
I knew what her tongue sound like, girl.
So I had so much awe that I wouldn't even look straight up. Like this is how much respect. I freaking accidentally patted her butt once. Trying to be cute because I was her boyfriend. So I was like,
how much older was she than you? I just didn't know.
She was probably like 5 years older than me.
How old were you?
So you accidentally patted her butt like she was in the vicinity and you were like worshiping.
Well, I was an accident. Like, I thought it was just.
Yes, oh, Lord. Oh.
I thought it was being cute, you know? So I patted her butt to let her know, hey, you know, I'm digging you. And she gave me the look where I was like, I never even came close to even anything. Like, I was just like, that's how much reverence I had. So when I told her these things, it's because she came to me. She asked me. I mm-hmm. didn't volunteer my mouth. I was just like, she asked me, yo, how do you think it looks? And I was just like, well, I think, you know, I just don't think, you know, I think you should try this or try this. And I would give her things. And then again, oh, you just think you're better. Mm-hmm. You just think you're better. You just think you're better. Then one night, like after all that, like that was the definition of a relationship. Now, granted, she's hella smart. She's like scholarly, her whole family, her dad's, you know, super smart. Everybody's smart. And I'm just this young kid who just got mm-hmm. saved, who used to be a thug. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I'm sure that had a lot to do with how she viewed me.
Yeah.
She was always above me. She was leading me. Excuse me. So one time we got into the situation. She was about to do a dance for Wednesday night. And she asked me, because I'm in there, and I tell her the truth. I'm like, man, it's not tight. You know, like it could be a little bit tighter. Everybody's all over the place, and she did it again. And this is when, I don't know if
As
I told
said,
this.
Like, you don't know what you're talking about. You think you're better than me.
You just think that you're better than
Got
us.
It.
Like, because you dance and you whatever.
After
like,
she'd asked your opinion.
You're not better than us. Yes. And this is when I said the F-bomb. Like, I dropped the F-bomb outside of church, and I had it, and they sent me home. I was like.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've talked about this.
I was like, ah!
Man, times have changed.
So mad, right?
I had a youth today share a testimony and she cussed twice and no one even blinked.
Yeah. Yeah. I freaking was like, fuck. Right? And then when I went home and I was just like, man, you know what? The first thing to do, like you, I was like, man, I probably am whatever. Like, I shouldn't like put this whatever. And then the Jesus confidence came back and I was like, I am a better dancer than she is. I do dress better than they do. I do. Like, I am better. In this particular situation, sure. I'm better.
I know what I'm talking about.
So I went back to her and I told her in her face, I was just like, hey.
Sorry about the F-bomb, but.
I do dance better than you. I'm sorry. I do dress better than you. I'm also sorry. Sorry. I'm more sorry that you feel the way you feel towards me. I'm not going to shrink anymore. If you want to be a better dancer, take a dance class. If you want to be better at fashion, pick up a Vogue, girl. I get reading your Bible is awesome, but pick up a Vogue.
If you want to be learn. Better in that area.
If you want to be better in that area, do the work. Do not make me feel bad because I did the work in it. And from that day on, I stopped letting people make me feel bad about things that I was good at. Because that was like, it was abuse. I was literally starting to shrink. And like, and it kind of happened in
that's
my group.
That's such a good sign of abuse too. You will start to shrink.
You become less of yourself. It happened in my group. Mm-hmm. Like everybody always accused me about money. You love money. You love money. You love money. So what did I do?
Shrunk.
I didn't want to bring out my Louis Vuitton luggage, right? It sat in boxes for 6 months.
Dang.
Because I was scared that they would say I was about money. Mm-hmm. I stopped handling all the finances. I hired a business manager. I did everything to push me as far away from the money as I could so that they could stop saying that I was all about money. I just shrunk. And then after a while, I was like, F this. I'm going to bring out my Louis. I'm going to wear my Louis. I'm going to do whatever I need to do because I will not shrink to these people. But it's not so easy for a lot of people, to which I guess what we're saying is the control aspect of somebody making you shrink. If you feel like you're shrinking, the parts of you that you love the most, your personality, your humor, you know, the vibrance. Mm-hmm. A lot, you get that a lot. Bobice is a very big personality. She's very big. Mm-hmm. So if she's with someone, they're going to have a big enough tank to handle that and not be insecure or feel like, oh my God, embarrassed by how big she is. Mm-hmm. My wife, she's a very confident person. She's very whatever. And she's extremely successful. When we got married, I knew that. I knew that she was insanely successful. And I feel bad that if she would have married this guy, I guarantee you this nigga would have had a problem with how well you do. Because it's way better than what he does. Mm-hmm. And he would have tried to make you feel bad for it. Whereas me, I celebrate that. Yeah. I celebrate in a lot of ways too. But I feel like if you feel like you are shrinking in any area of your life, the good areas, the parts that you really love about yourself, where you're like, this is like me. Mm-hmm. That is probably a massive sign that somebody is controlling you.
And that's why I wanted to kind of bring this up on this podcast, is because for me, one was good, this dating situation. One was I learned a lot from and had a nice, fun plan B with my life, which was my marriage. The difference being, I was able to pick it up quicker because I was more of a whole of a person and have in the last few years accepted my bigness, not physically, just for the record, but
semi. But that too.
I mean, in some areas. What, Elise? Stop. But as a human and what I feel like I bring and love myself, honestly, now. I don't think I did before. I was trying to find someone to fill me. Mm. Now I love me. And so trying to find someone to add to my life, you know, to do this with. And so the difference with that, the reason I was passionate about bringing this up with these guys is because if we can learn to view these signs early on, maybe we'll be quicker to respond to them when our heart's not so far in it. Now, first date is different from a marriage, but how do we find them on the first date? And B, you brought up so many good points at the beginning. And I think there are signs on the first date. I do feel like you can see it in someone. And after this guy and my experience and what I was proud of, I did some research on it. I was like, how can you see on a first date? And what shocked me was one of the number one major sign of having a red flag with someone, and I would say this is romantic and even in friendship, is someone who becomes too intimate with you too quickly. That's the friend or the relationship that your friend comes to you 4 days in. He's like, oh my gosh, I met this guy or this girl. And it's like our souls connected and we've known each other our whole lives. We told each other our life story. And now we're like, you know, like we've like just done everything together and we've already talked about our marriage. We've already talked about our kids. I'm about to move in with him. And that's an exaggeration, sure. But we all know people that move too fast, too quickly. And I believe it's because we all want to think we're the exception, not the rule. And we're just not. You can't go into dating or relationships thinking that you're the exception, not the rule, because you're just going to get hurt. And so with Angela, I actually think you kind of approached Manny with caution because of your past relationship. I think that was a plan of the enemy because he was trying to, you know, have you be, you know, wary of Manny when he was the real thing. But I don't think that was a bad thing to come into it with caution because of what you'd experienced. I almost think people come into things without caution when they should. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, totally. It's weird because I see what you're saying. And again, this is going to sound funny because I feel like Maddie was an exception. So I came
Maddie's
out
of Maddie's everyone's exception. Dude, moment for Maddie. Moment for Maddie.
Maddie moment. But I told her I love her 3 days in.
Okay. I'm done.
And I had just gotten out of that toxic relationship I was in. And it's crazy too because I wouldn't consider myself an abusive person. But being in that toxic relationship and I wasn't a whole person and I was like shrinking who I was and my greatness, all of a sudden I started becoming like not a good guy. Like I remember like even in the last month of us dating, we went to the theater for a date night. And during this whole time, I'd been paying for everything, like everything. I paid for, at one point, a trip for us to go to Puerto Rico, hotel, Puerto Rico? Food, everything.
Right? Separate rooms, Holy Spirit.
It was a house. It was Airbnb.
Okay. not the point, at least.
No, we didn't share the same bed.
Church okay. kid. Church kid.
That's a church thing. Did you wear a one-piece bathing suit?
Yeah, we stayed pure before God.
I hate you all.
And, but like, I made her pay for her own stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'll get one ticket for 7:30. I got my ticket. Ooh. I was like, cool, you got your ticket. Mm-hmm. We went out to eat. I was like, cool, could you split this bill in half? Because I was so done.
Yeah. That should have been a sign for her, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, like, yo, this guy is done.
Did she say anything?
Yeah, she was mad. And it was funny because it would come up. Yeah. It would come up in the way of, like, I just felt like I can't take you serious as a girlfriend because you're here talking about we should talk about marriage and we should think about moving forward. And I'm like, you're not going to school right now and you don't have a job. And I'm bankrolling everything. Like, you can't be serious about getting married. Mm-hmm. You're not moving forward in your own life. So anyways, I get out of it. We break up and I was like so happy. Like I literally had to hold back me smiling the entire breakup talk.
Oof, that's Oof. Rough.
Yeah.
For her, not
but
you.
It was like, oh, I felt freedom, you know? Yeah. And so when I met Maddie, it was like night and day difference. And I just thought, oh my God, what I wanted to feel these last 2.5 years, I already feel with you. And so the first couple of nights we're hanging out, we're at my mom's house when she was living just outside of Nashville. And Maddie and I, we stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning, like talking about our lives. And like, again, part of it was like the love is blind. And I knew like, hey, going on, I'm not going to make a decision. Like, I'm going to marry this girl. But I knew like, whoa, this is moving really fast. And I even felt within myself like, yo, this is crazy, Brandon. You need to slow down. And, yeah, I told her on the third day, it like came out of me. I'm like such a romantic, like, no,
but when it's real, here's the thing.
I told her we're in her car, we're hanging out and I'm just like, look, I'm sitting in a passenger seat. She's sitting in the driver's seat and we're just like talking.
Are
laughing.
You mid drive or parked?
We're parked.
We need to know every detail.
And, I look at her and I was like, I love you. And I was just like, oh shit. what did I just say? And she looked at me and she smiled so big. Mm. And I looked in her eyes, and I knew she felt it
Wait,
too.
Wait, she didn't say it?
No, she didn't say it
okay,
back.
Okay, Maddie, move yeah, up Maddie.
Maddie was keeping her Maddie moment. Cards. And I was like, yo, you feel it too? I was like, that's all I need to know. So by the end of 4 days,
I
was just like, all right, look, I'm going to just put everything in this relationship, and we'll see as we go. And
But here's the beautiful thing that you did. Look. Here's the one thing that we moved fast too. I don't remember when we said I love you, but
it wasn't 3 days in.
Definitely,
Maddie said it probably like a month later.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing that when I, you know, again, what we talked about before is like what you have inside yourself, you can recognize in somebody else. And I think the thing that helped us. And again, ours happened quick because we've spent a long life. I was already 30 at this point, mm-hmm. and I've already experienced a lot of what I didn't want.
Yeah.
So it's easy when you experience so much,
totally.
You know what you want. And I felt like the Lord told me that, you know, like I heard the Lord say, I can trust her. And when I heard the Lord say, I can trust her, that's when I knew I was game. I was okay to go all in because I thought if the Lord can trust her, then I for sure can trust her.
Yeah.
And I never had like a moment of like turn back. And knowing me, like before it would be like I'd date somebody for a year and I'd be like, maybe I should call her my girlfriend. Maybe this should be like, because I was just never sure. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
But there are those exceptions. But I still think what Bobisa is saying is accurate in most cases, because 99% of the time it was she was saying.
Especially if your track record has been
hurt
and break and heartbreak, mm-hmm. I would say go slow. And as someone,
and to touch on that, if your track record is hurt mm-hmm. or abuse or something, or you came out of a stanky relationship for 2 years, if you had time to process and heal, like Elise had time to heal and she was able to stand up for herself in this mm-hmm. date because of the healing that she went through, then sure, maybe you might be an exception to the rule. But if you are the same person that you were in your last relationships, mm-mm. pump the brakes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's solid advice.
Yeah, it is.
And look,
just get Angela Johnson to write your text messages.
Yeah, really good at that. Really good.
We could go on and on about this conversation because it's very prominent. But we hope that you heard yourself somewhere in this conversation. Yeah. In the list that B read off, we hope that you heard either maybe something that you may do and that you can correct, or something that has been done to you. We hope that you find the desire to love yourself, because I kind of feel like as I'm hearing the ladies talk, at the end of the day, like a remedy for a lot of this is loving and knowing who you are, and respecting who you are, mm-hmm. and being happy with the person that you are, because you know that you're putting in the work. Did you want to say something?
I want to read some of the things that if you feel like you're in, obviously, like a mental or emotional abusive. Again, if there's a physicality, obviously you need to call professionals, get like professional help. Yeah. Again,
thanks.
These are just some things that like kind of going along with what we were saying of like, hey, accept that abuse isn't your responsibility. Like if you're in something like that, you got to just get out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, that's going to be your personal decision, whether you're feeling like, okay, well, I have hope that he or she is going to change. Possibly they're surrounded with good people. They're taking ownership for their stuff. But if they're not doing any of those things, chances are those changes aren't going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
You're just well wishing and keeping yourself in something that's toxic for you. Two, disengage and set personal boundaries for yourself, right? Remove yourself, cutting off that, hey, saying we can't even be friends anymore. Yeah. Like that's a healthy personal boundary.
Yeah.
And then three, which is an important thing, kind of we've all been saying, is just give yourself time to heal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like that's so important, because it's only when you're whole that you can see these things.
Yeah.
You know?
And I would say, as someone that didn't even realize I was in and what I'm able to term now as an abusive relationship, in the middle of it, especially being in ministry and being in leadership or whatever in church, I felt this responsibility to make my marriage work. And I would say this, if you're in an abusive relationship, which I feel like we have highlighted today, we are in no way professionals in this area, just people with experiences that have offered you a seat at our table. I would say, if you even wonder if that may be you, and I feel like you know, like you're listening and you know, I would just implore and honestly beg you to tell someone. Please tell someone, whether it's a friend or a family member, someone that you can trust that loves you. Would you just first, even if you're not ready to leave it, even if you're not ready to give it up, I don't know how far in you might be, but please would you tell someone? Because just you speaking it out will begin a journey of, I believe, and pray healing for you. That means that you can be on the other side with the hindsight that we have, the perspective that we have, and the God that we know that can offer you healing in this area. And so we are sharing our experiences so that you know you're not alone, but I would implore you to reach out to somebody that can help. So that would be my biggest thing with this whole subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, we're
and
grateful.
With every head bowed and every eye closed.
Yeah, that definitely was an altar call. Altar call. I was waiting for someone to come in softly on the keys, and you're like,
I can't help it.
Right now,
I can't help it.
If you were here, I just want you to raise your hand right now.
I see you in the back. I see you in the back. One, two, yes. Three,
up at the top.
Four.
Up at the top.
Bless you. Bless you. One. Bless you. Yes.
Listen, seven, we're trying eight. To help people as well as all over a seat at the table.
Hands are up all over.
I know. I see those hands.
I'm so good at my job. Hands are up all over this room right now. 50,
my
75,
communication is so effective.
1 million hands. I see them all.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're so sorry. We are so sorry. Look, we love you guys so much.
That's real though.
Yeah, it is real.
That's very real.
Hey,
thank y'all.
If you like it, and if you know someone that's in a situation, hey, pass them along this pod. If you feel like it's spoken to you, share this pod with them. You know
and
what I'm saying?
If you got given this pod, then take notice of it.
Yeah. And hey, we love you guys. Seriously, subscribe. If you guys like it, share it. We love to hear from you guys. All the DMs that we're getting, I do look at it. And if it's something specific to somebody else, let me know and I'll get it to them. So we are actively engaged in this family aspect of our table. So we're grateful for everyone that pulls up a chair extremely. And we really, truly, truly, truly hope that this in some way helped you with our non-professional asses. We're professionals and making mistakes.
You become a professional when you go through it.
Well, I am Dr. Mistake. Hey, let's raise our glasses. To everyone, we pray and hope that you have a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are gladly and kindly welcome at ours.
There it is. Cheers.
Cheers.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.